Today, the first reading is from the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 1 to 7. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Yet this you have, you hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. And the second reading is from the same book, chapter 3, verse 14 to 22. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Will that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments, so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes, so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is the word of the Lord.
We've entered a series on the book of Revelation 2 weeks ago, the last Sunday of 2019. Preached on the first 11 verses of the book, and last week Huboger's preached on the last chapter 22 of Revelation. And from now on, we will go through the book orderly. And today it's chapter 2 and 3. And the chapter 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation are very often read and explained and exposed separately. The chapter 2 and 3 are the chapters containing the seven letters to the seven churches. And people very often say, oh, that's just that's aside, but because Revelation is all about future and about what's going to happen, and we get excited and we have our fantasies with, all right, what's going to happen? People look on the internet and see, oh, well, that's in Revelation, and they say, oh, is it now this time or that time? But We don't believe that that you can take these chapters away from Revelation. It's part of Revelation, the seven letters. It's right at the beginning in chapter 1. It already says John to the seven churches in the province of Asia. That's chapter 1, verse 4. And Hubogos, a writer last week, also read in chapter 22. And I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. So the focus is very much on the church, on the churches. Now, who are the seven churches? You see here a little map, and within the circle in Asia Minor, nowadays Turkey, you see the seven churches, and to these churches each have received a letter. But not just a letter, they received revelation. It was given to these churches. Now, the seven churches represent all churches for all times. Yes, they are focused specifically on a situation in these churches, but so that's the first application. It's the situation in Ephesus, in Laodicea, as you know, just read. But it's not just their situation. It's also representative for situations in many other churches in other ages. So the seven churches, and I said that already 2 weeks ago, the number of seven occurs in the book of Revelation so many, many times, and you need to be aware of the number seven, meaning all. And if we look to these seven letters, seven churches, it is also striking that Paul has also written to seven churches: Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Thessalonians. So the seven churches Paul wrote. And all these seven letters to the Romans, Corinthians, they are for all churches, for all times. Likewise, the seven letters that Christ has sent through John here in Revelation are for all churches and for all times. A little bit more about churches, because the gospel is always for a people. We tend, especially in modern day, to see the gospel for individuals. But the life of faith is highly personal, but never individual. The gospel is always for a group of people, a family, a church, never for an individual, though the gospel is highly personal. So we need to remember that the gospel needs to be heard, read, discussed, explained in a church community. As soon as you do it all by yourself, you'll go astray. You need the church community. Here, the book of Revelation is to a church. If you take away the book of Revelation and study it all by yourself, you're most likely to make mistakes and to misinterpret what's happening. It's given to churches. It's given to seven churches. And what we read later on in chapter 4 next week, chapter 5 the week following, can only be understood within a church community. Why is that? Well, I'll just say a little bit more about that. Just first of all, the book of Revelation starts with Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ in chapter 1. Then you have the seven letters. And then There is this scroll in chapter 5. We will discuss that in 2 weeks' time. The Word of God, and that is expounded and explained and preached, and it's to the churches. And it ends, this was to the churches. It's given to the churches. Now, each church represents a bit of Christ. It's a bit odd way to say this, but in the chapter 1, verse 13 and 18, we have the revelation of Christ, who he is. And there, it's there in the newsletter. I did a brief explanation, a commentary on these verses in the Bible study of the January-February issue of our newsletter. There it says that that Jesus was among the lampstands, and he was like a son of man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held 7 stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. And then later on, verse 17, 18, do not be afraid. I'm the first and the last. I'm the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. Now, all what you just heard will be repeated in the introduction of every of these seven letters. I am the Christ. I am the one who, what did we read in the letter to the Ephesians? Who holds the 7 stars in his right hands. That's for chapter 2, verse 1. And chapter 3, verse 14, these are the word of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. So it's all repeated there. So, saying each church represents a bit of Christ, you might think, all right, so we need other churches also to understand a little bit more about Jesus Christ? I say, yes, we do. We even need other denominations to understand a bit more about Christ. The church that declares we are the true church is a false church. There is no such thing as a true church here on earth. Christ is much bigger, much greater than any church can show, can preach, can teach. Yes, you go and look for a church that fits your culture, your way of doing. Yes, Christ, it's the Christ of the Scriptures that's being preached. But this church has this emphasis, the other church has another emphasis. So though we believe that being part of a local church is important, do visit interdenominational conferences. Go when you are on holidays and visit another church, and you will receive, though it's the same Christ, but you will receive more a different emphasis on the faith. And yes, you may disagree how some churches do things, but I'm sure, though I'm convinced, a Baptist minister, I know God, Jesus is not a Baptist. And he's not Roman Catholic, and he's not Orthodox, he's not Presbyterian, he's not Dutch Reformed. He's Christ, and Christ is bigger than any one church. Each church has a bit of Christ, and we cannot have Christ apart from the church. The church is the body of Christ. That's what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. It's the body of Christ. If you seek, where's Jesus? Oh, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Yes, but the Lord says through the Holy Spirit, through Paul in 1 Corinthians 12, you are the body of Christ. If you want to look for Jesus, you need to go to the church. You need to go to a local church, not just one church and then visit another church, every Sunday a different church, then you're not part of a body. The hand needs the foot, the eye, the ear. We need, and that's the metaphor of the body, that you need each other. You need each other in a local church to understand more about Christ. And the church itself needs, like we are part of the convention. When I go to the annual general meeting or at the ministry leaders conference, I meet other pastors and from other IBC churches, and I learn from them. They give emphases that we do not give here, and they learn from us. That's how it goes. We cannot have Christ apart from the church. You cannot believe on your own. It's a lie of modern age that the gospel is for individuals. No, it's for the church. And though it's highly personal, and you need to take a decision, and you need to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and yes, you will be held accountable, but it's always in the context of a church. Build your church, Lord. If you study the seven letters, you will find three things happening. First, it always starts with an affirmation. The affirmation, I know. I know what's happening. And the vision that John received, seeing Jesus walking among the lampstands with the seven stars in his hands, the seven angels, the seven messengers. An angel is a messenger. You can translate it also as a messenger. And Jesus walking among them. He knows what's going on. He knows what's going on in IBC Eindhoven. He knows what's going on in this church. I know what's happening. I know in what situation you are. So first, the affirmation. I'm there with you. And we will see in two different chapters also further on in Revelation that all our prayers are held and before God as a fragrance. And he hears our prayers and he will not forget what we've been praying for. He knows. Although we sometimes get the impression, does he know what situation I am? Has he heard my prayer? Yes, he has. And we need to be faithful and waiting. The second thing is that there is always a correction and saying, I have this against you. Yes, there is training. There's a lot of training given to churches. That's what church is all about. It's about the school of Jesus. You are taught here, all right, what does it mean to confess your sins? What does it mean to forgive, to receive forgiveness, and to forgive others? Yes, here is it where you learn how to love. You don't select the people. Well, the church is not a group of people that we have selected ourselves. No, you become part of a church body, and you find out, oh, I like this woman, I like this man. Oh, that's not really the way I like to do things. Yes, well, that's how we learn here in church, how we relate to each other. If you summarize all the commandments in the Bible, it's to love God above everything and to love your neighbor as yourself. And we are trained here to love. We are trained to suffer, as we read in the second letter. The third letter, we are trained to tell the truth. In the fourth letter, we are trained to be holy. Next letter, to be authentic, to be a mission, and to worship. Churches are schools. They are not showrooms. You don't go to a church, oh, I like this church, oh, I like this building, I like the people. All right, I'll settle here. They're not showrooms, they are living rooms. There's life here. And we don't do things perfectly here. We make mistakes, yes. Yes, sometimes things don't go as they should go. Then don't leave and go to another church, because you'll find out they make mistakes as well. This is a church where we make mistakes and then we learn about our mistakes and we ask forgiveness and we ask and say, sorry about it, sorry. And we make a lot of mistakes in this church because of it's an intercultural church. The Asian way is very different from the American way, very different from the Dutch and the European way. So we easily make mistakes. So there's a lot of practice going on here. And it's easy to just stick with with the people from your background. That's the easy way, because you won't make these mistakes that you do make if you try to relate with somebody from a different culture. So this is a great place for learning. International Baptist Church in Eindhoven. Hallelujah. We're part of this very colorful church that helps us to learn to love the way God has called us to love. Now, thirdly, every letter ends with a promise. To him who overcomes, I will give. And there are all sorts of promises given to each church. And they're all promises related to eternal life. But the promises are not a reward, but they are given as a destiny, completing the life that has begun in faith. To him who overcomes, I will give. And though you can think about all these seven churches and you may prefer this church or that church, every church, though the Lord says to every church, I have this against you, yet it is and remains a lampstand. It's a light. You may think, well, our church is not a very good light here in the City of Light. There are bigger churches and more successful churches, and there are churches that are very successful in evangelism. And you think, wow, well, then we are not a light as much as they are. Well, Jesus says you're a lampstand. And he doesn't say that one of the churches is a better light than the other church. We're all learning. Now, in closing, I would like to draw our attention to the word hear. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is repeated in every letter right at the end. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is repeated because we are called to respond. The Bible teaches that man is free and responsible. We are called to respond. The fact that we are here is not just our idea. We might think, oh, let's go to church. That's my choice. But no, it's not your idea. It's not your initiative. It is the Father in heaven calling you. Come together. Go to church. You need to learn. You need to worship. You need each other. You need to meet the person from the other culture. This is the training place. Come, come. And if you stay home or you think, well, let's go to another church, that's the easy way out, but it's not the Christ way. The Father is calling you to be faithful in coming to church. You are responding then to the call of the Father. The Bible teaches man is free, but you need to respond. Do you hear the Father's call? And when you go to church, do you hear? Can you discern the word of God? It's very striking that the phrase, he who has an ear, is a phrase that Jesus also uses. And he uses it in the parable of the sower. And the parable of the sower is the first parable in Matthew, the first parable in Mark, and the first parable in Luke. The first parable that Jesus teaches the disciples is the parable about listening, about hearing. Do you hear what the Spirit is saying? And if we just briefly go to Matthew chapter 13, then the explanation, just to remind you, the explanation of the parable of the sower. We read the words of Jesus in verse 19. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. What was sown on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. Thirdly, what was sown among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but worries of his life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. And fourthly, but what was sown on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. Now, this does not represent four different kind of people. It tells us who we are. Sometimes the word of God gets choked. And you're sitting here in church and you hear, but you don't listen. And you don't apply it into, you're not able to apply it effectively into your life because of what's happening to the seed. It's there on the pathway and it's snatched away by the birds. Or it's there on the rocky. Oh, yes. Oh, that was a great sermon, wasn't it? Oh, thank you, Pastor. That was a great sermon. And you go home and you don't even know what the sermon was all about and nothing has changed in your life. It's not about, wow, it's a great sermon. I was reminded of the parable that Jesus taught after his most famous sermon. His most famous sermon is the Sermon on the Mount. And you can just imagine the people listening to Jesus. I wish I was there. You wish you were there, weren't you? Whoa, what a preacher. And they forgot to eat. And they were listening and listening and listening. And then was the end, and they were sent home. And Jesus, right at the end, gave a parable in right at the end of Matthew chapter 7, the parable of the man who builds his house on sand is the person that hears but does not do, and the man who builds his house on a rock is the man who hears and obeys. Whenever you do a quiz in a Christian group and you say, you know the parable of the house on the rock and the house on the sand? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, do you know what it means? Well, you build your house on Jesus. He's the rock. Well, that sounds very Christian, very biblical, but it's not biblical because that's not the meaning. The meaning is building your house on a rock is not just hear, but to do what Jesus says. So that's hearing, listening effectively. He who has an ear, hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And we are a church called to discern the mind of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 29, we read that we need to test the prophecies. And prophecies are not just are not about the future things that will happen in the future. The prophecy is the word of God. And there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, you need to test the prophecies, test the word of God. And what you hear this morning, preached and sung, you need to check by yourselves. You can check. You don't need to be a theologian to know whether I've been preaching the truth this morning or not. You don't need to be a theologian. You need to be a born-again Christian. You need to have laid down your sins at the cross of Jesus, received forgiveness, and received the Holy Spirit, and the willingness to hear the willingness to change. If you're here in church and you haven't changed, your life hasn't changed, you haven't changed in your character, you haven't become a little bit more like Jesus over the past year, well, there's work to do. Get on with the job, together with the Holy Spirit. We are called together to hear the Word of God, to apply the Word of God, to become more and more like Jesus, waiting for the coming of the Lord. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Are we ready to hear? May I hear amen? Are we ready to hear? Amen. Lord, you heard our amen. Help us. Help us to listen and to apply what you teach us through Jesus Christ our Lord. I invite Elmer with the worship team. Let us.